Seated. This season, during October, since there's so much about ghosts goes on here, there, and the other place, I'm using this theme, the ghost of God. The ghost in the room, and it's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And I'm not gonna wait to say what that is. That just is, but. I have as a title today, the ghost of God is our paraclete. Well, what? What's that about? What's that mean? And so we look at paraclete. Paraclete is how we're used to saying it in English. What is that? Well, it's a Greek word that's used in John's writings, the Gospel of John and the letters of John, to describe the Holy Ghost. And it comes from the mouth of Jesus, and as it's recorded in Greek, the word appears to us as parakletos, which is used by Jesus Jesus speaks that in the Gospel of John four times, and all the teachings between the Last Supper and the upper room is where that happens. While Jesus is teaching his disciples between the upper room, the Last Supper, and the Garden of Gethsemane, his last prayer before his arrest. He's teaching his disciples. He's talking about not being there with them forever, but he says, I won't leave you alone. And that's really, really important. John uses the word once more in his letter to the churches, 1 John 2:1, which I'll share in a minute. Well, one translation into English, the Douay-Rheims 1899 American version, which is a translation with the imprimatur of the Roman Catholic Church, simply doesn't translate it. It just gives us that word, the transliteration that I use. A transliteration is when a word in another language or alphabet is written character for character in English characters, and then we figure out how to say it. So parakletos becomes paraklete, or for purposes of interpretation, it's written usually with a capital letter to signify that it represents the Holy Spirit of God in our Bible. American English speakers are usually pretty lazy about trying to pronounce other languages, so we just give up and say the word as if it were written down just for us. So instead of parakletos, we say paraclete, from the Hebrew transliteration, which sounds that way, paraclete. And paraklete would be a little bit closer. But if you want to try it in Greek, it's parakletos. And it has a specific meaning in the Greek language. According to the Lexham Bible Dictionary, there is no single English equivalent to the Greek word parakletos, which leads to several English words being used to translate it. Now, let's see. If you look at it in Greek, it comes out in the verse that way, but it happens to be the longer word there that is in the middle of it. Not that I expected you to read, I was studying it that way, and I ended up leaving it in my sermon outline, but that is John 14:16, which says, I will ask the Father, and he will send another counselor to be with you forever. And so we have a number of languages that are used to translate this. We have number of words. Advocate or counselor, that's one of those special words. It's used most often in the NIV translation. Comforter is used in the King James Version, helper in most others. And we have this word, why so many choices are coming up. The word in Greek has, as I say, a specific meaning. Para means next to, and kletos means voice. We have the word klaxon for a loud horn coming from that word. It means spoken out. So the one who stands next to you speaking. So that's why advocate or counselor works out. Parakletos. In a legal sense, it could be said that it's our public defender. So advocate is used. In the same sense, counselor is used, just like you've heard the judge call Perry Mason in the courtroom. Counselor, what do you have to say about that? So that's a good word for us, and that's a good word to remember. That's a good sense to remember, because standing next to us, speaking for us, our advocate, our counselor, is something we need. The word is also translated as helper, and that's one that shows up a lot. It shows up in a number of translations in English, and in a practical sense, the Parakletos is our helper as the voice of God's Spirit through all the days in our lives. And this meaning shows up in Scripture, not necessarily using the word Parakletos, but that idea of the helper, the Holy Spirit, with us. And that's the point I like to make. I like to think of the Holy Spirit as that one that's on my shoulder. If you watch Bugs Bunny cartoons, you know it's the white one, not the black one, in this case. The little white one, the angel, you know, that's on your shoulder and tells you what's right to do, speaking your way through life, that helper that is always there. The next word that shows up is comforter. Comforter. Why? Just because it's the voice of God with us. What do we need when we're broken? We need the voice of God to speak in our lives. What do we need when we're lost? We need the voice of God to speak in our lives. What do we need when we are grieving? We need the voice of God to comfort and soothe us and be with us. So comforter is used as well. Still with that same meaning, the one next to us who speaks to us. But Jesus goes a little bit farther with all of that. Now, as I said, First John chapter 2, verse 1 has a slightly different meaning than the meanings that show up in John chapter 14. Not the different meaning, actually, just a different assignment of the word. And that means Jesus is our Parakletos. Jesus is our Paraclete. He came to us as our first counselor, our first voice of God in our midst. And John says that in 1 John 2:1. My little children, I'm writing you these things that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. There's where the word shows up. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So our first advocate is Christ himself, present with God in heaven, standing at the right hand of God, the seat of power, speaking God's words to us and being our advocate before God. I'll tell you what, in the midst of God's holiness, we would all turn to dust without the grace and the healing and the holy covering and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But he is standing there. He's our advocate. When we finally end up going to breathing our last breath here, and when we finally come to that point where we're before the throne of judgment, where God opens the book of light to find out if our name is there, and opens that book that shows all the deeds we've done, and Jesus stands next to you and says, Dad, it's all right. I know this one. If we are Christians, if Christ knows us because we know him, in the Gospel of John, it says over and over, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's Jesus' voice to us. And that's our first thing to know, that Jesus is our advocate. The reason he went on the cross for us is to speak forgiveness. Father, forgive them. He said from the cross, to the ones throwing insults at him, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. I think of that over and over when I think of my own life and those times when I am not in line with God's will, and I recognize my sin and I seek the Lord, and I have that picture of Jesus there before his death, before his burial, before his resurrection. In the midst of the suffering, the payment for my sin, he says to the Father, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. And that forgiveness then comes as I submit myself to the Lord, as I admit my sin, as I confess my sin, which is telling God I know what He already knows, and seek His forgiveness. But Jesus is our first paraclete, the first one who speaks for us, our first advocate. And it's also the real key to what we want to share as far as the Holy Ghost in the room as we talk about this, is that we are given by God something that Jesus, His Son, asked that we would have. Now, we believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that each one is God and all together God, and each one separately God and each one all God. I mean, it's one of those things that our brains will go nuts if we try and sort absolutely everything out about it. But it's God in three persons. Blessed Trinity is what our hymns say. God the Father, who Jesus and the Spirit both submit to out of reverence, out of holiness, in order to give first place. And yet, Jesus is God the Son, holy God, holy man. The Holy Spirit is that act of, or that reality of communication that's going on in the midst of their fellowship, always, 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 and also that gift of God to us. It is the God present with us. So the Holy Ghost in the room is that presence of God that abides within by Jesus' own request, which I think is really cool. It's not me. It's not me on my knees and wailing and everything else saying, God, Jesus, send me the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I already did that. Just be ready to receive it. Just take it in. I've prayed that God would send you that. So it's part of the package when you believe in Jesus Christ. And it's part of what we can celebrate with Him. The Holy Ghost in the room is that Spirit of God that abides within. And we read here in John 14, 15 to 16. These are the passages where we get the word Paraclete showing up here again. John 14, 15 to 16, if you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor, Paraclete, to be with you forever. With you is actually part of the para in that name, and the voice of God, with you forever. That's what God is asked by His very own Son to send to us. The everlasting, never-ending, always present, abiding within Holy Spirit of God. And it's good news that He's sending that, because in the next verse it says He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive Him because it doesn't see Him or know Him. But you do know Him because He remains with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit, God's presence, abiding within, speaking to us, with us all the time. Do you know, even before you're a Christian, even before you think about Jesus, even before you ask the Lord to make a change in your life, that Holy Spirit is still hanging out, keeping you safe. That Holy Spirit preserves you to this point in time that you have the opportunity, that you can hear the good news, that you can submit to the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit all our lives watching over us. Jesus said, I will pray and the God will send the Holy Spirit. For those who love Him, it's an abiding within. To all of us who, before we have received that, it's the Lord watching out for us in many, many ways. Now, there's a lot of testimonies that people can make about that. I know my wife, she nods real quickly when I say that. She has several testimonies of the Holy Spirit active in order to preserve her life. This ghost in the room is also the Holy Ghost in us in order to show us day by day the presence of Christ. You see, when Jesus ascended, he promised in these scriptures, and we'll read that verse in a moment, but He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will send the Holy Spirit. And so it is the Holy Spirit that is sent to us as the presence of Christ. I won't leave you as orphans. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you in that Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the reality of Christ in us. So it's the presence of Christ, but it's Christ becoming real. When we open ourselves to the gospel message, we learn that God loves us so much. He's not willing to just knock us down and turn us to dust, as the psalm says he could. He could just give a breath and blow us all away. But instead, God created us for fellowship with him. He created us for love with him. When we sin, we break that connection, but God wants it so desperately. He designed it for us that he sent his own son to heal that division and to give us opportunity to enter back into his presence. And so he also sends the Holy Spirit as the reality of him in us. And we read it in John 14:19. In a little while the world will no longer see me. He ascended to heaven. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day, in verse 20, you will know that I am in my Father. You are in me. I am in you. Well, how does that happen when he is physically away? It's because of the Holy Spirit that Jesus sends to us from himself and the Father. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. That's about the fourth time it shows up in Scripture here, and then it shows up another few times in this discourse before the Garden of Gethsemane. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. The reality of Christ, the revelation of Christ comes by that same Holy Ghost, that same Holy Spirit. And then on in verse 23, we read, Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. Where have I heard that before? My Father will love him. He'll come to me and will make our home with him. So the reality of Christ in us, the presence of Christ spoken for us, living in us. And that reality is also our teacher. Our teacher, which is something we need. Along the way, we pick up the Scripture, we start to read, we're not sure what's there. You know what? Ask the Holy Ghost, ask God to, by his Holy Spirit, reveal his truth to you as you read the Scripture. And that Scripture suddenly bursts alive with things you had no idea were in there, because they're designed for us to know. But for these who were with Christ in these last days and were mourning the fact he was going to the cross, we have these words that come from John 14:26. He comforts them. He says, the counselor, the advocate, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Ah, that's exactly who it is. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've told you. Now, for the apostles with Jesus, they were reminded so they could write some of this stuff down. So 2,000 years later, we have it here, and that teaching still goes on, so that we might be reminded, so that we might know, so that we might be taught by the Holy Spirit as we look at his word. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and the Holy Spirit is also a witness to us. John 15:26, when the counselor comes, the one I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. He will testify about me. He's the witness. He's the one that seals in our heart the reality. In fact, in the end of the letter of 1 John, in chapter 5, it says that the Holy Spirit tells us that our salvation is real. It tells us that God is with us. It's that Holy Spirit that is the one who does it. But along the way, there's something else that happens that shows up in Scripture. I'm doing this as in the order it shows up in the conversation here. The Holy Spirit is the convictor. The convictor. We don't know that we're sinners until the Holy Spirit said, hey, do you know there's a holy God and you're nowhere close to being ready to see him? Do you know there's a holy God who cares about what you do? Do you know there's a holy God who has standards far above what you can ever think of and ask and reach? Do you know that there's a holy God whom you must stand in front of at the end of days? We only learn that because the Holy Spirit, through the Word, through the messages that his preacher says, through the lessons we read, through the Spirit himself talking to us, reminds us of our state. Nevertheless, John 16:7, I'm telling you the truth, for it is for your benefit that I go away. If I don't go away, the counselor won't come to you. If I do go, I will send him to you. So the cross is necessary. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. Well, it goes on to describe that a little bit. I'm not going to use that time this morning because I have more things in the next few weeks about the ghost in the room that we'll be sharing, because the Holy Ghost is also practical. The Holy Ghost is powerful. And the Holy Ghost is that presence that will never leave. Those are all important things for us to know. Convict us about sin so we know we need a Savior. Convict us about righteousness so we learn how God expects us. Convict us about judgment so that we know there is a time where either we give account or Christ says he's forgiven. She's forgiven. That's my child. That's my family. And Dad says, come on in. The Heavenly Father, on the basis of the testimony of Christ, because we give ourselves to him, we accept forgiveness because of his sacrifice. We're taught by the Holy Spirit that we become one with him through the Word, through the message, through the ghost in us. That Holy Ghost is the ghost in the room designed to be in us. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples, and this is a word about power that I'll speak of as we go on in this series. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, here's your little seed for what's coming up. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses. So the Spirit is witness of Christ, and when we receive that power, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that's right where you live, in all Judea, that's your county, and all Samaria, that's your state, and all to the ends of the earth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is with us. It is the presence of Christ with us. It is the reality of knowing our relationship with God the Father. It is our next to us voice, the Parakletos, the voice of God next to us, in us, working through us. My God bless you with that reality of his Holy Ghost. Might he be your teacher, your hope, your presence, your vision. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. But Lord, your word would mean nothing. It would just be another book on the shelf without your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are the three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We experience the Father, we experience the Son, we experience the Holy Spirit all together, mostly because you have sent your Spirit to be with us, the voice of you next to us, the voice of you in us, the reality of your purifying, powerful presence with us. As a marvelous aroma, as the voice of our God, as the leader of our hearts, be our vision, be our truth, be our purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.